The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Mike Huckabee.
He's laughing because he knows he did it.
Reflecting on fond memories and great relationships, next.
It is exciting to know that you are going to get to be in the Awaken Now Conference. Many of you who were there, you're excited. You're going to be hearing these incredible speakers and knowing that the Awaken Now Conference is available. This is the transcripts, Betty, and we have got the DVDs and the CDs, and we're going to tell you how you can get them. As you know, we don't sell products on Life Today Television, but we give gifts to those of you who help us change lives with acts of compassion and love. And Betty, we are right now giving people not only the water of life in truth, but also water for life. So we'll give you information in a little while how you can get the Awaken Now conference tapes, DVDs, and CDs. But now here is Governor Mike Huckabee, who started here, and you're going to hear a little bit about that journey with us when he began a very dynamic outreach.
Any kind of sound you can imagine.
Jason, I really didn't.
Do you remember when Admiral Stockdale was Ross Perot's running mate in 1992? And in the vice presidential debate, he looked at the camera and he said, "Who am I? Why am I here? I have never in my life had such a Stockdale moment as right now. Why am I here?" I finally get to go to a Beth Moore conference. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. I tried several times. They told me I couldn't pass the physical. Wouldn't let me in. She's amazing. Absolutely incredible. And then I thought, well, this is going to be really so anticlimactic for me to follow Beth. And then, thank you, James. That was... Seriously. When I used to work for him and travel in the Crusades, I did what he said we're not going to do tonight, have an offering. My first reaction when he came up and says, "We're supposed to have an offering now, but we're not," I'm thinking, I knew James had changed, but I had no idea it was that dramatic. Brother, in those days, we might have dispensed with the music. We might have dispensed with the message and the invitation. We were not about to dispense with the offering. And it used to be my job to get up and actually, as they say in some churches, lift the offering. Now, you have no idea what intimidation is than when you're sitting next to James Robinson on a crusade platform in some stadium. And there are thousands of people in the stadium, and all the time, just before I'm going up during the song, he's telling me what I need to go up there and say.
Not me.
He's laughing because he knows he did it. I cannot tell you how many times. Look, I'm nervous enough as it is. I mean, I'm as old as 21 years old. No kidding. That's how old I was when I started the work for him. And everybody on the staff told him, That kid is too young. He's inexperienced. He has no idea what he's doing. And they got all of that just from my wife, and then they believed it themselves. But he was mentoring me, which means he was telling me exactly what to do and exactly how to do it. That's why so many of us say, Betty, you are a saint. You truly are. I thought we would at least have some music between Beth and James and me, and I was hoping. I first became acquainted with James Robison when I was still in college, and I would watch his television program on Sunday morning as a college student in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. My wife and I would... Are you a Washtenaw guy? Go Tigers. And we're not talking LSU Tigers either. But we used to watch, my wife and I would watch, we were just kids. We got married when we were 18 and in college, just short of our 19th birthdays. And as we were getting ready for church on Sunday, we would watch James Robison. And what a blessing. There was no other voice in America like James Robison. And we loved many, many people that God used to bless us and minister us, but there was no one who had that prophetic voice like James. And that's how I really believe God had raised him up as a prophet for our time. And when I ended up coming out here with Janet and we enrolled in seminary, we were broke. When I say broke, I mean broke. And I was earning my keep as best I could by doing freelance radio spots, because I started in radio when I was 14 years old, and that's how I paid my way through high school and college, and I was going to pay my way through seminary doing that. And that was really my first career. But he thinks, oh, you were a pastor and left that to go into politics. No, I was in broadcasting. That's what I believed that I was going to do. The pastorate was the detour, not the destination for me. But I started doing some freelance radio spots, and someone who worked for James heard me do some of those spots and said, you know, you're a Christian. You ought to be doing James Robison's radio spots. I thought, I think so, too. And within a few months, I was working part-time. Don't think it was glamorous, because I was doing whatever, you know, they needed me to do in the media department, buying ads for the Crusades, voicing radio spots, and picking up the waste baskets around the building, which I did. And I did it very well, thank you. Whatever needed to be done, because it was, at that time, just a wonderful small family of people that worked there, and we loved Jesus, and we loved James Robison, and we knew that God had uniquely gifted him in a way that I'd never witnessed before. And after I'd been there for several months, the person who headed the communications department took a position in another state, wanted to get back closer to home. And much to the surprise of everybody, James asked me to take the position full time. And honestly, it really, from all just outward appearances, it really wasn't a very smart thing to do. I was the only person in the building who thought, this is great. That guy's smart, man. Nobody else was seeing it. Now, I told you, you know, we'd come out of college. My wife had gone through several months of fighting cancer in her spine in our first year of marriage, not something we had expected to go through. And between just trying to get through school and her having cancer in her spine and having radiation therapy and surgery and learning to walk all over again and all that, I mean, we came to Fort Worth just about as empty as anybody could hopefully ever get out here. And the only suit I had was a suit, this is no kidding, I bought it at an outlet store for $12.50. It was nice. polyester double knit. I always pray, don't rub against anything that has any friction whatsoever, or the whole thing just starts. That was it. I had one pair of shoes, had a hole in them, and I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just telling you. So the fact that you laughed, that hurts. That really. Well, James hired me to become director of communications and to operate the in-house advertising agency that the ministry had at that time. And like my third day on the job, I got a call from Clayton Spriggs, who was like a father to me, and I loved him. And Clayton was the executive director of the James Robison Association at the time. And, you know, in every organization, there's got to be one person who's kind of the hammer, you know? So Clayton was the hammer, wasn't he? And I got called to his office. I was scared to death. I thought, this is terrific. I'm here 3 days, and I'm already in trouble. He said, James wants to see you. I said, boy, now I'm really in trouble. And he came by, and he said, I need you to go with me somewhere. Okay. I had no idea where. We got in James's car, and we went over to the mall in Hearst, Texas, not very far from here. And we pulled up to this men's store. Clothing, people. We get out, we go in, and he said, you know, if you're going to work for me, I want you to look sharp. And he personally took me in there. And he proceeded to pick out 3 suits, shirts, ties, everything. Being James, he didn't let me have anything to say about which ones they were. But I'm pretty sure he figured that anybody would wear a double knit polyester suit had no business picking out clothes whatsoever. He didn't make a big deal of it. He just did it. He personally paid for it. And, of course, he took it out of my check later, but he did not. When people sometimes would say, that James Robison, he can just be mean, because I would hear him as this fiery prophet, I said, you don't know anything about the man if that's who you think he is. And to this day, I'm going to tell you something. If anybody ever said an unkind word about James Robison in my presence, they better be prepared. Because I'm not a violent person, but I have limits. And I'd take on a chainsaw for James Robison. And I mean that with my whole heart. Brother, I love you and I thank you for investing in my life more than he will ever know. He truly was a mentor. And I love him for all that he invested in me. And I saw it time after time after time after time in people, that loving, caring, generous individual. And tonight we celebrate with him 50 years of the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and 50 years of his marriage with Betty. And while I was kidding around with him, just know that there really isn't a more magnificent couple who exemplify God's grace, unconditional love, and commitment to the Lord and to each other as James and Betty, and I consider it an extraordinary signal honor to be here tonight to share their 50th anniversary of ministry and marriage with all of you who are their friends and who share that love for them. Thank you, brother. When Beth was speaking, I thought, Some of you will think that she and I conspired in our messages tonight, but we did not. But I want to share with you what I truly believe God's put on my heart tonight. If you have a Bible and would like to read along, I'll be reading from the second chapter of Jeremiah. And two pieces of this chapter, not all of it, but I'll begin with verse 7. And even though Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel, he could well be speaking to America tonight. And I believe he is. I believe the Word of God is timeless. I don't believe it was written solely to a specific historical moment, though it was certainly written to a historical account. And I think one of the great confidences I have in the Word of God is that all of the Scripture was written in a practical and a pragmatic way to a real people in a real time. It is not merely a storybook. It is the account of God speaking throughout history and revealing Himself to real people going through real issues. But God's Word is transferable to every people, to every generation. There is nothing in God's Word that will return to Him void, meaning there's nothing that is in God's Word that will come back with the word, "This is irrelevant for today." Believe me, I hear people all the time who believe that God's Word has become irrelevant to our culture. It has not. We may not hear it anymore as we should. We may not trust it. We may not like it. We may not agree with it. But the problem is ours, not God's. And so everything in the Bible, with all my heart, I believe, is as valid for us today as it was in the very moment He spoke it.
I'm telling you, you know, you're going to get the entire message. We can only give you clips of most all the messages, but you want to get it all. I hope you get it on DVD. And we're asking you to make a gift to help us drill water wells, 500 of them. $144 gives 30 people water the rest of their life. For every gift over $100, you ask for the DVDs, the CDs, and you will also get the written transcript of the messages from each one of our speakers, and you will get them in their entirety. We can't get all of that on a single Life Today program, but we will send it to you in this incredible series. Now, I want you to see what we do to totally transform lives with expressions of undeniable love and compassion.
It's the beauty you see first. The land so alive. Green, vibrant green, flowing over rice fields and trees. And these beautiful people, their hospitality, their smiles. Smiles which often conceal the wounds within, like the flowers displayed upon their waters. For a moment, you forget what lies beneath them, but never for long, for it's a source of deep pain. Waterborne diseases, the very thing on which they depend for life, is exactly what's taking it. It's a killer they can't escape. And it's taking their sons, their daughters, entire families. In some lands, dry and arid, families suffer for lack of water. This land, like many, is often met with wild rain, and its people strive to capture it, longing for a safe source. But it's never enough, and they are forced to surrender themselves to the killer in the water. It may bring life to flowers and rice fields, make bricks, clean clothes, and nourish livestock. But for children, the diseases within serve up only sickness and death. There is, of course, a solution. Deep within, by God's design, life can be found. However, you may be the only one who can provide it. You are called to, but by God's design, in doing so, you too find life.
Well, you know, when I see the heartache and the pain, sometimes, Betty, I feel like, you know, we don't have the ability to put in words what needs to be said in behalf of those who suffer and who die. And we have been, you know, appealing the needs of people for years, and we've watched love meet the need. But how do we ever really feel like we're getting across effectively enough when the need's so great?
Well, James, we just know that we have loving supporters that do reach out and join with us and help us. And if you haven't been before, I hope you will start now, because we need your help. Anytime that there's a need that we can present that we know will bring hope and love and a cure to disease such as this, a lack of clean water, it's a simple solution. They need the water well so that these precious children that these mothers love so much and would die for themselves, they need our help. These mothers need our help, James. They don't have anything else they can do. They've done all they know they can do to help their children.
I think as a grandparent and as a parent, I think I do feel that I can come to you representing the heartache of parents, of grandparents when they lose a loved one. And we're asking you to provide the only answer. And for them, in their particular circumstances, the answer is a perfect one. It's a certain one. It's clean water. Every one of the 500 areas that we have surveyed with our missionaries, we know definitely there is water. We know that in most areas, it's relatively shallow. That would be below 200 or 250 feet. Sometimes 150 to 175. Sometimes we know there's a pretty good level of water because boreholes confirm it, where they dug down just a narrow little borehole and found water, but it gets filthy and contaminated because there's no way to protect it. So we give them a cased with concrete and steel structure that protects the water shaft down to the water. And we give them a mechanical pump. If you wonder why we don't give them electric pumps, in so many areas, even where there is electricity, which many of the areas where we work there is not, but even where there is electricity in these third world countries, it's intermittent. It'll be off for hours at a time, almost every 24-hour cycle, sometimes days. So we give them something that children can activate and they can get the water. Our goal, 500 wells. Could you drill one of them? Could you give 1,200 or 2,400 and pray that another person or three people join you? $48 will give 10 people water for the rest of their life. 144 will give 30 water the rest of their life. Would you dial the number or go online and make the largest gift you can? We want to send you the Awaken Now conference tapes to be a blessing to you and to inspire you. And yes, to awaken us all to the purpose and will of God for us today. Thank you so much for making that call and making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with a companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
It breaks my heart to think about little children like this, so precious, coming here and living on the side of a dump, and this is where they get water, and it's disease-ridden.
It's just water that can kill them. And they need some. They drink it, they swim in it, and everything alive walks through it, and we need to help them.
It's really pretty simple, but it takes all of us doing our part, joining together, to give not only a cup of water, as Jesus said, but a well of water. I pray you'll make that life-giving call today. And children and their families in so many parts of the world will receive a chance at life because of the love of God shared through you. You know, Betty and I have the beautiful bronzes. We have every one of them. I saw today two of the same one because I know we went back and gave another gift. And I know we ought to give the other bronze to someone that just be a blessing to them as a gift. But this is brand new, and this is a glass sculpture, incredible art piece, The Blessing, and that's what we want to be. We are here as the family of God to bless the nations and people of the world. So thank you for making a gift of $1,200 or more, and pray three join you, or a well, and any gift, ask for the CDs, a gift of over $100, the DVDs, and I think you'll want to play many of these in your Bible studies, neighborhood studies, or to the whole church. Thank you so much for helping give water for life so we can point people to the water of life.
We've done the same thing to holiness that we did to Jesus. We made it religious, we made it creepy, we made it totally unattractive.
John and Stacy Eldridge, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.